Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2, configuring and using the integrated SFTP server. Today's presenters are Max Trapolini and Rima Kakoka. Max is an advisory software engineer who joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 2 team about 6 years ago. He works closely with customers and development to drive the product to succeed in the marketplace. Rima is a staff software engineer in India's software lab. She has more than 4 years of work experience with fast exposure in Java and J2EE. She is currently working as a Level 3 support engineer for WebSphere Partner Gateway, a middleware product of the WebSphere brand. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Max and Rima.
Hello, everyone. So this is Rima over here. So let's get started on the session today on understanding the integrated SFTP server and WebSphere Partner Gateway. So right now, we are on slide number 2. So this agenda here basically shows how this entire education session is structured. So this session is basically divided into two main parts. In one part, we will be going through the configurations needed for the SFTP server, on how to manage this SFTP server, and also we will be discussing about any new screens that have been added for this change. In the second part, we will be going through the lab sessions, which could be used to easily understand your way through the WPG integrated SFTP server. Moving on to slide number 3. So in the next two slides, we will be basically covering the overview of the SFTP server implementation. So firstly, this integrated SFTP server is available only with WPG 6.2.6.4 onwards. This integrated SFTP server was first delivered with 6.4a and now has been refreshed in the recently released 6.5. This SFTP server is an extension of the integrated FTP server. Now, integrated FTP server is a separate component that needs to be installed during installation in 6.2 base. So basically, if integrated FTP server is not installed, then integrated SFTP server also cannot be installed. In case at this particular point you decide that you need to use SFTP server but do not have FTP server installed, you would first need to go and install the integrated FTP server available with the 6.2 base installer. Only then, after upgrading to a WPG 6.4 or 5, will you be able to use the integrated SFTP server. So as you can see on the slide, the supported platforms are shown as AIX and Windows. Now when 6.2.6.4a was released, only these two platforms were supported. But 6.5 onwards, all platforms that are supported on 6.2 base are supported for the integrated SFTP server also. Multiple instances and high availability are both not supported in the WPG integrated SFTP server. Moving on to the next slide, that is slide number 4. Yes, so the continuation of the previous slide, SFTP server management can be done via the WPG console. So firstly is user management. Any new users that need to use the SFTP server or any existing users that you have in WPG already which you would want to configure for SFTP, all these can be modified using the WPG console. Then secondly, key management. SFTP server cannot function without a host key. So this key can be added and managed through the WPG console. Also, any property which is basically related to the SFTP server can be controlled using the WPG console. So this is for properties management. Besides this, in the FTP reports section, SFTP statistics and connection reports are also available. In the statistics reports, one can see things like how many people are connected or how many were connected, how many files were downloaded, deleted, etc. Such kind of information. Also, 8 new events have been published for the SFTP server. We will be discussing this in detail in the forthcoming slides. Moving on to slide number 5. How to start and stop the SFTP server. Now, the SFTP server can be started from the WPG console. But to start this SFTP server, the SFTP management server first needs to be started. Now, what is this SFTP management server? SFTP management server is basically used to communicate with the WPG console. If any changes are done for the SFTP users, or any new host keys are added, or any other property changes are done or using WPG console, then the SFTP management server would need to be restarted. What this would do is, it would read the latest values from the database and put those in a local property file. As a result of this, the SFTP server can work even when the database is down. So, on the slide over here are commands available to start and stop both the SFTP management server as well as how SFTP server can be started is given on the slide. So, basically to start the management server or stop the management server, you need to go to hub install location, FTP server, bin. So, from here you can stop or start the SFTP management server. To start or stop the SFTP server, this can be done through the WPG console. You would need to navigate to System Administration, FTP Administration, and here on the server start stop, you can start or stop the server. In case you want to run this as a service for Windows system, there is this file called Service SFTP BAT, which is available under Hub Install Location, FTP Server Bin. So, this particular batch file can be run and this can be used to create a service, and then the SFTP management server can be started or stopped as a service. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 6. SFTP properties management. So the SFTP server runs on port number 2222. So this can be changed to a WPG console. So in the WPG console, if you go to System Administration, FTP Administration, and under that SFTP Properties, you would see these three properties listed over there. The first of this is the SFTP port, which is defaulted to 2222. You can change this to anything that you want, and after that, you will need to restart the SFTP management server. The other two properties listed over here are, one is Maximum Authentication Request Allowed. So what this means is, here the default is 3. So if a user is providing wrong details and trying to log in, at the fourth attempt, an error stating too many authentication failures would be thrown. So after this, the user would not be able to log in. This is Maximum Authentication Request Allowed. The next property, that is Authentication Request Timeout, which is defaulted to 6 minutes, is the time the server waits for the user to be authenticated. Now, the default SFTP management port is 2050. Now, when installing a fixed pack, we do not provide an option to asking the customer as to which port he would like the SFTP management port to be run on. So, we just defaulted to 2050. But in case this port is already being used and you would like to use another port, you can configure this by adding this particular property, namely bcg.config.ftpmanagement.sftpmgmt.port in the ftpserver.init file. Now this file is available under hub install location ftpserver.conf. Lastly, the default property file is called as sftpd.properties. Basically, this file like every time you restart the SFTP management server, this file will be reloaded with the latest contents from the database. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 7. Host key management. Now this is one of the most important factors of SFTP server. SFTP server requires a host key. So it will not work unless this host key has been uploaded. So if this key is not present, the server would start, but an SFTP client will not be able to connect to the SFTP server. So when starting the SFTP server, if the key is not present, warning stating no host key defined will be seen. There are two supported host key formats. One is .p2l key and the other is .pm key. Also, it is possible to configure both the .p2l key and the .pm key at the same time. However, if both of these are configured, then the .p2l key will take precedence over the .pm key. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 8. This is a continuation of the previous slide, that is the host key management. The P2L key can be uploaded using the load certificate page. Now, this is the same page which is used to upload other certificates for, like, say, signing or encryption or SSL. So this is the same page. So when uploading this particular P2L key through this page, you will need to tick the option of SFTP server authentication. So once you tick that option, this P2L key would be used as a host key. PM keys, however, can be uploaded using the load SFTP keys page. No other cert type can be uploaded using this page. As of now, there is no validation available for the load SFTP keys page. It will allow you to upload even a P2L certificate through this page. But during runtime, this will not be loaded and will throw an error. So for this validation of the certificate upload in this particular page, we already have an APAR existing, which should be fixing in forthcoming fix packs. But for now, it is important to remember that only if you upload a PEM key to the load SFTP keys page, only then will this be considered as a host key file and be used by the integrated SFTP server. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 9. So this is basically a screenshot showing how the P2L certificate needs to be uploaded. So here you can see the P2L key can be uploaded in the load new certificate page. And here in the second part of the screen, you will see that is the certificate for SFTP server authentication has been ticked. So once you tick this particular option, this certificate will be used as a host key for the SFTP server. Also, please note that other key formats like JKS and JCEKS can also be uploaded using this particular page. Moving on to the next slide, that is slide number 10. On this screen is shown how to upload a PEM certificate. So on the screen, you will also see the format of the PEM key is provided here. This is how a PEM key will look like if you open it in Notepad. So once a PEM key is uploaded, it cannot be deleted. Nor will you be able to see this key on the console once it is uploaded. If you upload another PEM key, the older one will be overridden. So basically, at a time, you can have only one PEM key configured as a host key for the SFTP server. As I've already mentioned earlier, this key can be uploaded using the load SFTP keys page. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 11. This is basically screenshots of how a sample SFTP server startup. So the first screenshot is a startup without the host key uploaded. So without uploading this host key, the server is started. a warning as shown in the screenshot we've seen. So you can see a warning saying no host key defined for the server. That simply means that there is no host key uploaded. That is, as in there is no PM key uploaded or the P2F key is not uploaded as the SFTP server authentication type. Or if either of these certificates are uploaded, they cannot be loaded in the runtime for some reason. If the certificate is uploaded and still you see this particular warning, so there might be a problem. You can check the logs or you can contact support at that particular point. After loading the host key, you would need to restart the SFTP management server. So as is shown in the second screenshot, you can see the SFTP management start with the host key uploaded. Here you would see that there is no warning displayed anymore and the host key has been recognized and has been picked up successfully. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 12. So SFTP user management. All users created in WPG can serve for both FTP and SFTP activity. This can be managed through the FTP configuration link. To navigate to the FTP configuration link, you can go to the user detail of the particular user you want to configure for FTP or SFTP. And then there, you can click on FTP configuration, which will be available at the right-hand side of the screen. So on the right side of this particular slide, you can see that this particular user called as SFTP underscore user has been enabled for both FTP user as well as for SFTP user. Similarly, if you want to disable it, you can do the same over here. Also, at the bottom of the slide, you see that there are two new attributes added only for SFTP, that is the key. And this password field will not be available from FP5 onwards. It's only present in FP4. So this particular key is the key which is used for public key verification. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 13. So SFTP server implementation features. So the various features that are provided by the SFTP server. Support for various SFTP commands, then the user virtual directory, then write permission, create remove directory permissions also provided, session timeout support, and IP address restriction support is also provided, wherein you can give the various IPs which should not be able to access the particular SFTP server. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 14. So this SFTP server has been tested with a few clients like OpenSSH, SFTP, PSFTP, and the SFTP client which is shipped with WPG. In case there are any problems while logging into the SFTP server or any problems using the SFTP server, you can possibly debug this by checking the log file which will be available under FTP server install location. Conf log, the name of the log file would be sftp.log. So by default, actually this file is in error mode. So you can switch this to debug mode. The log4j property file is available under FTP server common SSH classes. So after this change is done, that is you change in error mode to debug mode, you would need to restart the management server for this particular configuration to take effect. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 15. So this is the same screen which is also available for FTP server. This has been modified now so that you can also gather SFTP reports now using the same particular screen. So SFTP and FTP server reports are integrated in the WPG community console. So to navigate to this, you would need to go through tools, FTP reports and statistics and connections. So using this page, you would be able to see various details related to the SFTP server, like number of active connections, how many directories were created or deleted, or say how many files were uploaded, downloaded, and things like this are visible on this particular statistics page. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 16. 8 new events have been introduced for the SFTP server. there is one critical event, three error events, and four information events which are available. So critical event is SFTP connection is not obtained. And the three error events, as can be seen from the slide, are one related where you cannot log into the SFTP user because of wrong details. Then the other two error events are unable to upload a file to the SFTP server and unable to download the file from the SFTP server. The information events, as can be seen in the slide, are when the SFTP connection will be successful. Then the next one will be BCG 62003, as in where the user has successfully logged into the SFTP server. Other two events would be where the file is successfully uploaded and file is successfully downloaded from the SFTP server. So these eight new events are now included and available for the SFTP server. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 17. The default login right now is 2. As per this, only the critical and the error events will be logged into the WPG console right now. So if you would like to see the debug level events too, you will need to change the event logging accordingly. Event logging can be controlled using the log level parameter, which is available again in the WPG console. This will be available under System Administration, FTP Administration, Event Properties. So if you set the debug, if you set it to 0, if you set this particular property, it is BCG config FTP server, FTP event logging level to 0, then all the events, that is debug, warning, error, critical, all these events would be seen in the WPG console. We are done with the first part for now, and now I would like to hand over this session to my co-presenter, Max.
Yes, thank you, Rima. Let's move on to slide 18. So the last section of this presentation includes four test cases. As you can see in this slide, we have a lab one where it is reported how to upload a host key, whether that is a P12 or a PEM type, in the SFTP server. In lab two, we have a scenario where a WPG SFTP receiver client picks up a EDI X12 file from the user folder in the SFTP server, processes it, and then it drops in a different folder in the same machine using a SFTP destination client. In this case, both SFTP receiver and destination are configured to use user password authentication. In lab 3, we use the same setup as lab 2 with the addition of server verification for both client configuration, the receiver and the destination. And finally, lab 4 uses again the same setup as lab 2, but the authentication type is changed from user password to private key, and the SFTP destination keeps the server verification enabled. Let's go to slide 19. So let's start with lab 1, which, by the way, is a mandatory step because without the host key, the SFTP server would not be able to accept any client connection. The upper part of this slide shows the upload of the PEM key. Please be aware that the console does not perform any key validation, like Riva mentioned earlier. And the lower part of this slide shows the upload of a P12 key, which can be done the same way WPG users are familiar with when uploading private keys for encryption or digital signature, for example. In this case, though, you need to remember to checkmark the box for SFTP server authentication. So let's move on to slide 20. Okay, in lab 2, we'll be using two machines. And the first machine, as shown in this slide, hosts the WPG integrated SFTP server. Here we will create two users, one to be used by the receiver client and one by the destination client. Both users will be enabled for SFTP and have their home directory created in the SFTP server file system. Let's go to slide 21. The second machine will host the SFTP clients. So we will be creating a SFTP receiver and a SFTP destination. In this lab, both clients will be configured to use the user password authentication type. Next, we need to enable the connections between the two trading partners to allow the EDI X12 message to flow. And then run the actual test by dropping the EDI file into the home folder of the SFTP user, the user defined, of course, for the WPG receiver. And then the EDI file will be picked up by the receiver process and then delivered to the home folder of the SFTP user defined for the WPG destination client. The whole transaction flow can be reviewed using the console viewer and by checking the home directories for the SFTP client users. Let's go to slide 22. This and the next three slides will show the actual configuration setup screenshots that have been used for this lab. The two screenshots in the upper part of this slide show the SFTP user definition in the SFTP server machine. As you can see, a home directory has been defined under the conf folder, and the SFTP option has been enabled for both users. The screenshot in the lower left part shows how the users are listed in the WPG console, and the screenshot on the lower right shows the home folder created for both SFTP users in the SFTP server file system. Next slide, slide number 23. Here we have the WPG receiver and destination client's configuration. Things to be noticed are the remote event directory, which is the folder pulled by the receiver to pick up files, the output directory, which is the folder where the destination will drop off files after processing, the authentication type, which in this case has been set to username and password, and the actual user ID and password that have been used for these tests. Last thing to notice maybe is that the server verification is disabled for this test. Let's move on to slide number 24, which shows the non-EDI X12 ISA connection and the SFTP underscore MAX2000A SFTP destination that have been used for this test. Go to slide number 25. So now we're ready to run the test. So you just have to place the EDI file in the SFTP underscore user one folder for the WPG receiver to pick it up. So after being processed, the output file is dropped in the SFTP user to folder as defined in the destination configuration. Document details from the WPG console viewer shows the details of the transaction. Let's go to slide 26. Okay, I was mentioned at the beginning that Lab 3 uses the same scenario as Lab 2, so the setup for the WPG client machine stays the same, that concerning creating the SFTP receiver and destination users and the SFTP users home folder in the file system. Let's go to slide 27. Since the client needs to perform server verification in this lab, we're going to need to create a private key and a public pair. Now, since we uploaded a P12 key, which for the SFTP server overrides a PEM key, we're going to need to convert the P12 onto a PEM key type, and we can do that as reported in the steps in this slide. That is, first we'll have to use OpenSSL to convert the server's P12 key to a PEM format using the command shown in the first section of the slide, the OpenSSL command. And then next we need to use the SSH keygen to extract the public key from the PEM, and this is referenced by the second command in this slide, the SSH keygen command. So once we use these commands, we have the public key, and we're going to use it to create a host key file, which uses a format like the one shown at the third bullet, which basically has a format where you will put a host name or IP address, then the SFTP server runtime port, and then there will be a blank, and then the content of the actual public key file as we obtain it in the second step. So once we have the host key in this format, we're going to send that to the SFTP client that they will need to be referenced in their client configuration. So let's move to slide 28. So Lab 3 uses the same scenario as Lab 2. So the setup for WPG client machine stays the same. That concerns the creation of the actual SFTP receiver and destination users and the home folders for these users in the file system as well. What changes is the fact that the receiver and destination will be enabled for server verification. So in order to do that, we're going to need to place the host key file, which was provided by the owner of the integrated SFTP server machine, onto the file system, and we have to reference its path location in the SFTP receiver and destination configuration panels. Next, we need to enable the connection between the trading partner to allow the document flow. And finally, we're able to run the test, which involves the usual steps by dropping the EDI file in the SFTP user one home folder. Then that file is picked up by the SFTP receiver. It is processed and then logged into the SFTP user two for the destination home folder. And then finally, we can use the console document viewer to review the transaction. So let's go to slide 29. And just like Lab 2, this and the next three slides will show the actual configuration setup screenshots that have been used. There are no changes for any of the items reported in this slide if we compare it with the Lab 2. The SFTP users definitions stay the same. They are listed the same in the WPG console. And the home folder created for both SFTP users in the SFTP server file system are the same as LAB2. Go to slide 30. The WPG receiver and destination client configuration are changed for the section at the bottom of the screenshot concerning the option to enable the server verification feature. As you can see, when this option is turned on, then you will have to fill out the host key file field referencing the path location in the file system. All other attributes such as the remote event directory, the output directory, the authentication type, the actual user ID and password, they stay the same. So let's move on to slide 31. And no change for the non-EDI ISA connection and as well as the SFTP destination we're using have been made here. So let's move to slide 32, which shows the actual test that follows the same pattern as the previous test. We drop the file in the SFTP user 1 folder. The receiver picks it up, we process, and then the SFTP destination drops the file in the SFTP user 2. And then we can use the document details from the WPG console viewer to review the details of the transactions, as well as you can see the output file dropped in the destination user home folder. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 33. And here we are at Lab 4, the configuration for the machine hosting the SFTP server needs to be changed because the receiver and destination client are going to use private key authentication type. So accordingly, we need to upload the associated public key certificates onto the WPG console configuration for each user, the receiver as well as the destination user. The configuration for the machine hosting the WPG integrated SFTP server stays the same. That is, we keep the two users created in Lab 2, one to be used by the receiver client and the one by the destination client. Both users will be enabled for SFTP and have their home directory created in the SFTP server file system. Move on to slide 34. As far as the SFTP clients, the SFTP receiver and destination configurations need to be updated to switch authentication type from user password to private key. And consequently, we have to provide the location of the private key in the file system and associated the passphrase. The server authentication can be turned off. In this particular case, I turned it off for the receiver and left it on for the destination. And, of course, we have to enable the connection between the two trading partners. So let's go to slide 35. And we're ready to run the test again, which consists with the same EDI file being picked up by the SFTP receiver. Of course, it has to go through a different kind of authentication type, even though apparently the process is the same. And that file then is processed and delivered by the SFTP destination. So let's move on to slide 36. These are the screenshots of the receiver and the destination configuration, which show the change that we made. The authentication type has been switched from private key. Switched to private key. It used to be user password. The physical location of the private key file in the file system has been referenced. And the passphrase associated with the private key has also been reported. The self-verification option has been disabled for the receiver and left enabled for the destination. Go to slide 37. The configuration for the receiver and destination SFTP users defined in the SFTP server machine needs to be updated to upload the public certificates that at runtime are going to be needed for the connection to be successfully established. The uploaded certificates for both users are shown in the two top screenshots. They can be viewed in different ways. You can use Notepad or you can use the web browser. There are different options that are presented to the user. And all the rest is the same. So let's move on to slide 38. And here, no changes to the NANIDI ISA connection or to the SFTP destination have been made, so they stay the same. Let's move on to slide 39. And now we can run the test for lab 4, same as we did for the previous labs. The EDI file is placed in the SFTP user 1 folder for the WPG receiver to pick up. And again, it is being processed and then dropped by the destination to the SFTP user 2. And the document details from the WPG console can be used to review the transactions. And this basically concludes the presentation. There is one more slide, slide number 40. Which this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for the WebSphere products. You can visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you attended today. And also access previously recorded presentations. We have a developer works that offers in-depth technical information. And visit WebSphere user group org for the user group information and more product information. The IBM education assistant consists of a self-help module to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly emails updates for products of interest to you. Joseph?
Thank you, Max and Rima, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Amy, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Alan Goldblatt. Your line is open.
I just wanted to find out if you can set up the new WPG version to not only process the secure FTP site locally, but also to reach out to external partners and pick up files. We have a few partners out there that don't deliver files to us. We actually connect to their site and pick things up.
Hi, Alan.
Yes.
So basically, you're saying to use the SFTP client to pick up files from the SFTP server on your partner's end, right?
That's correct.
Yes, yes. That is actually a feature that was with WPG GA version. In this case, with the FixPack 5, besides what we already had delivered in GA with the client portion, we also added the server.
Okay.
So to answer your question, yes, you can, and you don't even need to go at FixPack 5 to do that.
Okay. What version did that begin with?
6.20 GA version. But of course, you will be always better off to update the patches because there have been some errors, some bugs that have been fixed. But the feature itself is available with the GA version.
On version 6.1, I think we're on version 6.1 now, so...
No, you need to be on the 6.2
okay.
version.
Yes. Okay. All right. And I guess my other question was, any pitfalls or anything like that associated with moving to using this application? On version 6.1, we've been kind of forced to use a separate secure FTP client to handle these kinds of interactions, meaning specifically to go out and connect to our external partners and pick files up.
Right. So, and you still maintain that option. This with 6.2, you only add one more option, which is just go to use SFTP rather than going through the FTPS, basically.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
At this time, there are no other questions.
Thank you, Amy. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.